take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Acts chapter 2. We are going to be, by the way, in Acts chapter 2 all day today in Sunday school, the 11 o'clock and the 1:30 hour. Did I just get louder? Did you just turn me up? Do I need to be turned up? It sounds really loud to me. I mentioned to you, I got hoarse in like the first day of teen camp screaming at Josh. And the biggest thing I miss, honestly, is singing. You know how hard it is for me to sit there or stand there this morning like when you all are singing and not sing. Well, first of all, if I do, it hurts. And second of all, it sounds really bad. it sounds as bad out there as it does in here. So anyway, that really frustrates me. Anybody need notes? You need to pick up some notes? Now's the time to go do that, or I can get Danny or one of the young men to grab those for you. No? Everybody's got the notes they need? Good. We're going to talk about your daily walk today. Now look at the book of Acts, and in just a moment, I'll tell you what, let me get some people to turn to some verses here for us. I'm not going to turn and read them all for you today for a lot of reasons. Some of them are pretty obvious. But one of the big reasons is it's better for you when you turn there, to say the least. And by the way, I hope that you will do these lessons. I hope you'll finish those last two pages of C that we did not cover. William brought in, I forgot that William went all the way through this program. He actually, do you have it with you right there? Why don't you hold that up? His is black. But he actually has a binder that when he finished it, I punched all of his notes into, talking about William and punching things. Kind of funny. Put the three holes in it and put it in a binder, and he's got the little diploma on there that he graduated. And when you do it all by yourself and you finish it, you actually get a Bible. He's got the Bible with him today that he got when he finished the program. You all aren't getting Bibles, by the way. That's not happening. But it's an important thing for you to know why you believe what you believe. And that's the whole idea of the program. So let me get some volunteers on this, and then I'll come back to where I started. Let's start in this section here. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Joshua 1:8. Okay, Shannon's got that. And Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Anybody over there want to get that for me? All right, then we're down here. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Do I need to start assigning it? All right, good. Noah, yeah. I'll volunteer, because I'm staring right at him, he knows. If I don't volunteer, actually I was going to call him Matea, I was trying to deke you out. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Matea. And then I need Daniel 6:10, Leah. Oh, here's an easy one. I don't want to give an easy one to William. I will give William an easy one. Acts 17:11. William, you got that one. All right, here's a harder one. How about Habakkuk 2:1? Everybody worries about these minor prophets. Just go to Matthew, go backwards, and leaf around. It's not, you're only in a few pages. You sooner or later you're going to bump into it. Okay, Habakkuk. Anybody in the center section want Habakkuk 2:1? Nobody wants that? It's not hard. You're going to take that also? Okay. Yeah, you know who you are. Matea, you take that one also. And then Psalm 119, verse 18, center of your Bible, open it up, you should hit Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 18, anybody want that in the center section? Brother Adam, you want that one? That's what I thought you wanted that one. No, Psalm 119, verse 18. Let's do a couple more. Boy, these are so familiar verses to me. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, anybody else in the center? Jeremiah 31, 3. All right, how about to my far left? Jeremiah 31:3, Tracy? Okay. You got a King James Bible, Tracy? Okay. Jeremiah 31:3. Still over here on my left. 2 Peter 1:20. Okay, yeah. Don't tell me. Andre, you know I was going to call you Matea, right? his first name came to my mind. So you got 2 Peter, right? Did I give you 2 Peter? 2 Peter 1:20. By the way, y'all are going to have to remember what you have because I don't remember who I gave them to. And then John 15, 14. Anybody else over there on my left? Danny, okay, thank you for volunteering. Daniel, you have John 15, 14. And then one more to finish out page 32 would be Matthew chapter 6, verses 5, 6, and 7. Anybody else over there on my left? Anybody else over there? Anybody else anywhere in the auditorium? All right, William, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 7. All right, now, back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Now, you understand very well that the book of Acts, you can argue all day long about when the church started. I think the correct answer is that just like a human being, you have a conception and a child is alive at the moment of conception, and then there's a day when it's birthed. And it, even though it's alive and it moves, once it is out of the womb, it can move much better. And I would submit to you that the church was birthed with Jesus and the disciples. And on the day of Pentecost, it was conceived and it was a live, living thing. And it was birth that came forth and moved quite a bit more and had a lot more power, a lot more ability after the day of Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, when this church gets moving, gets going, there's some things that happen. And we'll be reading this text for the sermons today. But look at verse 41 of chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now notice verse 42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, I want you to understand that doctrine is any kind of a structure of teaching. We think about it, obviously, from a spiritual perspective, a biblical perspective, Bible doctrine. But doctrine can be anything. Islam has a doctrine. Even places like IBM corporations have a doctrine. This is their philosophy and teaching. Okay, so they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. I want you to understand, for that to happen, they had to have a daily walk. And you'll notice it says in our text, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, I want you to understand that they understood that there was something that needed to happen. You'll notice verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord, a daily walk. You are never going to get where you need to be in the Christian life unless you develop a daily walk. Your daily walk is not accomplished by just attending church. Church should be a springboard to help you with a daily walk. It should give you the tools you need. It should spur some questions for you to study and look up. But it is not your daily walk. Just coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, is not a substitute for you walking with God daily. Got to walk with God daily. So you're going to have to develop that daily walk. So look at your notes there. And you notice that it says, Bible Christianity is not a creed, a set of beliefs, but a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we receive Him as a real person into our hearts and lives. And although there are many things to learn about the Lord and the Christian life, we must never forget there is a personal relationship to be enjoyed and maintained. And the reason we talk about it being a walk is a walk is something you do with another person. You go for a walk with them. You'll remember all the way back into the Garden of Eden that when Adam sinned and God came to him, he came to him to walk with him in the cool of the garden in the evening because that was what he was normally doing. And when he said, where art thou? It wasn't because God didn't know where he was. What he was saying is, why aren't you here? Okay? It's like me saying, William, you were supposed to meet me in my office at 8 o'clock. Where were you? Okay? I don't want to know while I was out gardening. I want to know, why weren't you in my office? When God said to Adam, where art thou? He's saying, why aren't you here walking with me? God wanted to walk with him on a daily basis, just like he wants to walk with you and me. And it is imperative for our growth to walk with him on a daily basis. Personal relationships are maintained by communication. Every Christian needs a daily walk with his or her Lord to enjoy all that God has in store for them. This is the battleground where victory or defeat in your Christian life will be decided. So vital requirements to a daily walk. Now, we're not going to look back at study two because you probably don't have it with you. But I think you can answer this. God's will for you as a young Christian is to do what in spiritual maturity? To grow. Okay, grow in grace. And you're going to read that verse in a little while over here in Peter. There's a number of essential requirements of physical growth. We understand that. There's some essential requirements for spiritual growth. This study deals with two vital things needed for daily walk with the Lord. Bible study and prayer. Those are the two things you're going to be talking about. Okay, so Bible study allows God to be able to speak to me, and prayer allows me to be able to speak to God. And that's how we develop the fellowship we need. Now, Joshua 1:8, Shannon, let's read that. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. It's the only verse in the Bible where the word success is used. And it's in direct correlation to the word of God. So Joshua's commandment was that God's word would not depart. Would not depart from our mouth, the mouth of God's people, day and night. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Did we come all the way down here? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go ahead and read it for us. Verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Frontlets. Great verses in Deuteronomy. Second giving of the law to this new generation that's going to go into the promised land. And they're supposed to speak about the Bible. When thou sittest down, when thou risest up, when thou liest down, when thou gettest up. They're supposed to put them on their hand. They're supposed to put them as frontlets. They're supposed to put them on the post. If you go to Israel, almost every hotel and every place you go, you'll still see on the doorposts in Hebrew. There are little portions of scripture there. You'll also see like a little box there. And that little box will have Hebrew scripture written in it. They take that very, very seriously. They're doing it all for a ceremonial purpose, which is kind of sad. But nevertheless, if you're going to walk with God, it's going to have to be something you do all the time. And if you're going to speak about the Bible, now, I understand in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the verses he just read, there it's an admonition to parents about teaching their children the Word of God. How can you teach children the Word of God and speak about it if you don't know it? What are you going to talk about? You're supposed to be talking about it all the time. When you sit down, when you get up, before bed, after, all the time. All the time. Now, let me make a suggestion and observation here for parents. Don't use the Bible as a constant, sledgehammer. Because you will get them to despise the Word of God. Okay? I never recommend, I know that people, there's people that do this, and there was somebody who was here just recently, and I think she may have said it, I don't remember if she said it here in a testimony or if it was at my house, but she was talking about when she was in the Christian school, and they had to constantly quote and write on the board like hundreds of times a Bible verse because of misbehavior. I never did that. And I never let them do that in the Christian school. Okay, if you want them to write 1,000 times on the board, I will not run in the hall, fine. But don't have them write on the board a Bible verse 1,000 times. Because I don't want to use the Bible as a whipping post. I don't want to use it as a punishment. I want them to love the Bible. I don't want them to start hating it. And I know a lot of parents are like, I was raised by good Christian parents and it worked on me. Well, there was a lot of things our parents did to us that weren't really good, but it worked, didn't it? God uses sometimes our ignorance, but my advice is not to use the Bible that way, but to be able to talk about the Bible all the time. To be able to talk about it at breakfast, talk about it during games, talk about it during sports. You know, that's one of the ideas of football camp, that we're talking about the Bible all day long, starting out in huddle times and talking about it and asking questions. You know, you'd be amazed at how smart kids are if you just listen to them. You know, if you quit telling them they're stupid and listen to them, you might find out they're smarter than you think. So anyway, all that being said, you're going to have to make the Bible part of your daily walk. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Yeah, great verse, right? Pray without ceasing. What that means is you should be in an attitude of prayer all the time. Remember back in the day, maybe when your mother called somebody on the phone, maybe it was her mother or her girlfriend, and she put that phone under her, you know, under her ear and on her shoulder, and she was ironing and doing dishes, and she was just talking. She was going about her daily task, and she had whoever it was on the phone throughout the whole endeavor. Call God in the morning and keep him on the phone all day long. Okay? We are now living in a time. Yeah. How many of you have been in Walmart or at a gas station? I was at a gas station by my house, the BP by my house the other day. Actually, I think it was last Sunday. It was last Sunday, because I was in a hurry. I wanted to get home and get everything ready, because the teens were going camping, and I, you know, I'm a person that's usually like overprepared. I was not overprepared. I was terribly underprepared. I wasn't feeling well, and I'm out of gas. I mean, I drove to church with my truck telling me, you know, flashing, you are out of gas. You have 50 miles till empty, and I've driven 25 miles here, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, well, the truck is figuring the average gas mileage based on when I was pulling the trailer, and I'm not pulling the trailer, so I have extra miles, and I'm watching it, and I know I'm going to be okay. I can make it home. But then I have to hook up this trailer, take it to this camping area, and unhook it and all that. Not a good idea to run out of gas with a trailer hooked to you, a 4,500-pound trailer. So I pull in to get gas, even though I'm in a hurry. And I'm getting gas, and from the other side of the pump over here, somebody I can't see, I think he's talking to me. And he said something, I forgot what it was, like, you know, what are you doing, or something. And I said, well, I'm just, and I looked up, and he's on his phone. He's got a Bluetooth thing in his ear. He's obviously on the phone with someone else. I was in Walmart the other day, a couple days ago. I'm in line. The person behind me in the line says, is that a good deal? And I said, well, yeah, I think it's a pretty good, same thing. They had a Bluetooth thing in their ear. They're talking to somebody else, and they're obviously asking if what they're buying is a good deal or something. And I'm realizing they're not talking to me. They have someone else on the line. Ma Sunday, Billy Sunday's wife, everybody called her Ma Sunday. Ma Sunday used to say they'd be walking down the sidewalk, and Billy would say something, and she'd say, what are you talking about? I'd say, I'm not talking to you, Ma. I'm talking to the Lord. But he would just walk down the sidewalk and speak to God as if he was a person standing right beside him. Well, isn't that the way it really should be? Like he's just a person standing beside you, and you just talk to him all day long. Now, you might want to do that silently, lest the butterfly nets come out and the padded room is reserved for you. But nowadays, truth is, with all the weirdos and all the stuff going on, you'll fit right in. No one will even notice. Pray without ceasing. Nevertheless, we know we have busy schedules, and so I suggest that you have a definite time for what we call devotions, a time where you read Scripture, a time where you pray, even though you should be about that all day long. So Daniel chapter 6, Leah, right person? Verse 10 for me. By the way, before I make the application there, you'll notice, like he did aforetime, he didn't just do this because he was in trouble. He'd been doing this all along. He just kept doing it. When trouble came, Daniel kept doing what he had always been doing. because what he had always been doing was right. This wasn't a foxhole prayer where you're under fire in the foxhole and all of a sudden you decide to get spiritual. This was, he was always spiritual. He was not going to stop because they made a law and they signed a decree. So the question is, how many times did he do it? Three times a day. Muslims have called a prayer five times a day. Kind of interesting, Christians can't hardly pray one time a day. Just saying. He did it three times a day. Muslims do it five times a day, the call to prayer. We struggle to do it one time a day. Have a set time. And let me say this. Well, let's read Acts 17. Oh, it's you, Acts 17, 11. So how often did the Berean Christians read the Word of God? They read it daily. Okay? They didn't just read it, they studied it. And we'll talk about that at some point, but let me make some recommendations here to you. Okay, let's talk first about Bible reading. Have a set time and a set place. And don't let anything interfere with it. Figure out where your set time, when your set time is, and where your set place is. And organize that so that no one will interfere with it. Okay? If you usually get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, get up at 4:30. There's probably a lot of quiet space around your house at 4:30. There's a lot of quiet space outside at 4:30. I like the world at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning because I feel like I own it. I feel like this is my world. There's no one else in it. If you're not a morning person, then do it late at night. Okay, you normally go to bed at 11 o'clock. Okay, go to bed at 10:30. And for 30 minutes, say, I'm going to bed. Everybody in the house thinks you're going to bed. You go to bed, but then you have 30 minutes where you have Bible time and prayer. Okay, or whatever that, find a time. A set time, a set place, and then set it in stone. Set time, set place, set it in stone. Okay? If you don't do that, it won't happen. And as soon as you compromise it on some level, you'll compromise it on others. Okay? So we were at football camp. First preaching service is at 6 o'clock. To get a shower and get going, I got to get up at 5. But I usually get up between 3 to 5 o'clock anyway without setting an alarm. So at football camp, I set an alarm. Even though I never heard it, I set an alarm for 4 o'clock so that I could make sure I'd be good to go. But I usually have my devotions between 4 and 5 o'clock. So I didn't have to change for football camp. I didn't have to change for Shooters Expo. I didn't have to change for teen camp. All the things I did in the last 6 weeks, I did not have to change. My time still works. Okay? And I know that from all these years of doing it, that that's a time that no one will bother me. Okay? So what if somebody calls you on your phone? I wouldn't know. My phone's off. Not just silent, off. So you shut your phone off. What if there's an emergency? When the carrier pigeon shows up, I will hurry to the emergency. I'll tell you what's an emergency in my life, that I need to be alone with God. That is an emergency. I'll be no help to anyone if I am not alone with God. He did it three times a day. Daniel did. The Bereans studied the Word of God daily. No prescribed time for your daily devotions. The important thing is you set a time. Maybe early in the morning, maybe after family meals, maybe during an undisturbed lunch break. Find a time that works for you. And now there's a suggestion here that you consider it. You sit down, organize yourself a time, and write it down and sign it and date it so that you will not make the mistake of failing to plan. You will always fail if you fail to plan. Failing to plan is planning for failure. So plan it. Okay? How should I walk with God? Well, now that you set aside a time, there's a few things you should do. And here's what they suggest. Divide your time roughly into thirds. A third of the time for Bible reading, a third of the time for thinking about what God has said to you, that's meditation, and a third of your time for praying. That's smart and very basic. Okay? So the first 20 minutes at least should be deliberately reserved for reading the scriptures and so forth. But maybe it depends how much time you have, obviously. Now, let me make a suggestion to you. Oh, who's got Habakkuk 2:1? Oh, all the way back here. Okay, why don't you read that for us? I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Not hear, but see. Is that what it says? What's it say before that? Read it again. Watch to see what he will say to me. I will watch to see what he will say unto me. Obviously, he's metaphorically talking about a watchman on a tower, but a watchman doesn't go on a tower and, you know, wait for the enemy to come and talk to him. Okay, he's using it. He's talking about a watchman goes on a tower to look for something. He is intentionally he is intentionally looking for something. So you're going into your devotions intentionally looking for God to give you something. So let me make a recommendation to you. Always have some scrap paper there or a notebook of some kind and a pen or a pencil to write with. When you're having your devotions, look, here's a big mistake I used to make. I'm reading something in devotions and a word strikes me. Well, when that word strikes me, I want to find out more about this word. So I'm going to study that word. Or an idea strikes me. Well, let's see where it is in other places. Now it turns into a study. Okay? And I have left my devotions to study the Bible. Okay? Now, I think you should study the Bible, but not during devotions. Okay? If I'm talking to you and, you know, I mention a particular, you know, brand of snow tires or something, and all of a sudden you got your phone up and you're studying those tires and you're looking at prices and figuring out where they are and all this stuff, and you're not paying attention to the rest of our conversation, I will get very upset. Ask Alec. Ask Micah. His generation will do that. Just because I mentioned something doesn't mean it's Google time. Okay? And while I'm talking, boom, 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 and Becca was terrible about it too. One day in a staff meeting, I said, will you put your stinking phone down? Well, I'm trying to look up stuff that you're talking about. Wait till I'm done talking. Write it down, pencil, paper, look it up later. Okay? It was from this wonderful interaction with our young staff that I have learned that God probably looks at me and says the same thing. Why have you quit listening to me? But I'm trying to serve you here. I'm studying. No, no, no. Shut up. Write it down for later. Focus, young man. I'm trying to talk to you here. Oh, yes, sir. By the way, our staff, I tell them, here's what you need to learn to say. Yes, sir. That's all. I don't want an explanation. I don't want an excuse. I don't want an apology. It sounds well odd to some of you. But I don't like people apologizing to me. It kind of makes me angry. I don't know why. Oh, you should feel good about it. Maybe I relive the whole experience. I don't want an excuse. I don't want an apology. All I want is, yes, sir. And we're moving on. Boom. I close the door on that, and I'm on to the next subject. Okay, I cannot relive something over and over. That is absolute torture to me. And so, you know, God is trying to talk to me, and in the process, he uses a word like resolve. I'm saying that because I studied resolve this week. But I did it during study time, not devotion time. So I've made a rule for me that during devotion, reading the Bible devotionally, I am not allowed to look up anything because I am reading the Bible right now devotionally. Okay? So I read the Bible devotionally, and then I study it somewhat systematically. Okay, study it by its context, study it by its application, study it by words, study it by phrases, study it by people's lives, characters' lives, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but that's another time. That's not this time. Sometimes when you're meditating about what God has just said in his word, you're worried about trying to use that verse. How could I explain this to my kids to keep them from being such little renegades? All right, that's not what you want to be doing. What you want to be doing during meditation is thinking about what God just showed you in his word and asking, how does that apply to me? What should I do differently Because of what I've just read, God, because of what you just told me, what should I be doing different? Okay? Boy, it's really easy for me during devotions to find out all kinds of great truth that would change my wife's life. I just laugh because you know what really would change her life? If I listened to what God was telling me and changed my life. That would really change her life. That's another subject. We're not doing marriage counseling right now. We're doing daily devotions. And we're definitely not doing my marriage counseling. So all that being said, I'm meditating and I'm asking that question. How does that apply to me? What does that mean to me? How can that help me? How can these things, if I don't do them, hurt me? What should I do differently because of all this? And then let's talk about the prayer time for a moment. This is really going to sound odd when I tell you this, but I don't know how else to tell you this. You really need to have two different kinds of prayer lives. One is a prayer life where you just talk to God, thanking Him for who He is, talking to Him about, you know, life and concerns and different issues. And then the other one is a serious prayer list for other people. And I realize I've combined a lot of that together in the prayer journal that I put out. I don't have any of them. Brother Coral is in town. I'm sure he has a book table. He goes nowhere without a book table. You could probably pick one up over there at the tent meeting. If you're going to do that, I would suggest maybe. I don't know what he sells them for. I think they're selling them for like $20 or something. And I don't want to know what my cost is. My cost is actual cost, which used to be $8, and now it's probably, I don't know, $10, $11. It's probably half of the price. But you could just make your donation and save all of us some aggravation. But I'd be glad to try to get you one. But I combine them together. But the truth is, I don't usually do them together like that. The first part of all that, you know, confessing my sin, praising God for who He is, worshiping God, that whole first part, I usually do that totally separate from the last part of that, where I have lists of people's names. You hear me talking about praying for my tree stand in the dark and going through the names, you know. And it's always a great thing, you know, I always tell the Albrights, you never get missed because your name is A. And you're first on the list. And there's Don and John and Mark and, Biggin's pretty high on that list too, you know. Some of you, Vladicek, I'm sorry. I'm usually asleep by then. But I pretty much have it memorized, you know, in order. But that's a separate time from my I don't want to sit down with my wife and have her tell me, well, sweetheart, I'm going to go grocery shopping tomorrow, and I'm going to buy 5 pounds of potatoes, and I don't want the whole grocery list. This is just a fellowship time, okay? So there's part of prayer for me that is like fellowshipping with God, where I'm going to confess my sin, I'm going to tell Him how great He is, we're going to talk about things like that, and then there's a grocery list kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? I sort of think the grocery list and the devotional life don't mesh for me. I don't feel like it's the same kind of conversation, okay? Because I got a lot of people to pray for and a lot of things, my preacher friends, ministries that I'm involved with, and, you know, all sorts of things. Our missionaries, you know. By the way, there's no task too big if you break it down into manageable parts. So just get a small group that you pray for every day, and you can pray through the whole list. All that being said, sit down and figure out a way that you can do it. But as far as this, the devotion, we're talking about your daily walk. And you're not going to like this either. Well, you may like this. You may not agree with this, but you're wrong. It's more important for you to fall in love with God and just be able to talk to Him than it is for you to go through the grocery list. He knows what's on your heart and mind. And if you'd fall in love with Him, you'd get more answers to the prayers you don't ask than you do by not having a relationship with Him, but being able to recite your list. You know, God, here's what I need today. So make sure you understand that. Some rules for Bible study. Brother Adam, I think you had Psalm 119, verse 18. Read it for us really loud. When people went through this with me, Kathy, your son Joe, Jason Gower, many of you remember, I affectionately named him Tattoo Tom. I used to sing in the choir when I came here. Tom Elsick, I think was the name. Yeah, something like that. Tattoo Tom. These guys, when I personally, one-on-one, went through these with them, every time, first thing I did was read that verse. This is how we start the day. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Write it out on the lines there. Write out the whole verse. Memorize the verse. Read it, quote it. Maybe it should be the prayer that you pray every day before you open the Bible. Now, remember, God always means what he says, and he always says what he means. You don't have to wonder what he's going to say. When the plain sense of reading Scripture, when the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense or it all becomes nonsense. Don't ever forget that. People are always trying to read between the lines. Okay, let's worry about what's on the lines. There's enough on the lines without trying to read between the lines. God usually makes it pretty clear what he's saying. Remember these golden keys, and this may be all we have time for today. Who is speaking? Make sure you're not quoting when the Bible's quoting the devil and you're reading that quote. Okay? It was the devil that said that. You know, people always say, am I my brother's keeper? Well, that was said by the first murderer. Okay? So, that's not a good quote. Okay? Not a motto for you to live by. Okay? Okay, who's speaking? To whom is he speaking? Okay? Is this a father talking to a son? Is it a master talking to a servant? Is it God speaking to a prophet? Is it a prophet talking to God? Okay? About what is he speaking? Everything written in the Scriptures, he realized, okay, the prophet said a lot of things that were wrong. It wasn't the Scriptures wrong, it's just, okay, they're upset, they're complaining to God. You know, Jeremiah wanted God to kill him. Jonah wanted God to kill him. You know, take my life. I mean, Moses said, you know, if you're not going to save them, blot me out of the book too. Okay, once again, not something you want carved on your tombstone. Okay, so who's he talking to? Who's talking? Who's he talking to? And about what is he talking? And when was he talking? Realize there's a lot of unsaved people talking in the Bible as well. Okay, so know when they are speaking. What situation is going on, and when are they talking? We're pretty much out of time. You only have page 32 and 33 to finish on your own. There's not a whole lot to fill in there. Let me make a recommendation to you on page 33 that you take some time. It says, what things may we ask for? And you read those verses and you'll find out, okay? Give us this day our daily bread. Daily provisions. James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and give it to all men and upbraideth not. Okay, you should know these verses. So, a word or a phrase, read those verses, write down the words and phrase about things that you should be asking God for. God not only tells you to ask him for stuff, he tells you what to ask for. He tells you, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Okay? Then I guess I should ask him as a good servant, as someone who is waiting upon the Lord, like the waiter comes to my table, and I say, sir, what is your order? What are the steps that you are ordering for me today? Okay? He's telling me what to ask for, so make sure you do that. We're out of time this morning. Let me encourage you to fill those out. We're going to try to keep moving on one lesson each week. So we're going to start on E next week. And E